we got some people out. I know Gary and Kathy's on vacation. They're at the beach. So remember them in prayer. I'm not sure exactly what day they're coming back, but don't forget to pray for them. And welcome to Tabernacle Auditorium Bible Class. Thank you so much for being here. And today is Friend Day, and we thank God for the men that's coming our way. Matt Franklin's going to be preaching this morning and tonight, and then tomorrow and Tuesday night, it'll be Brother Steve Cox. So pray for these men as God has brought them our way, and pray that God will use them. We thank God for our church family, thank Him for our pastor, and thank Him for everything that's going on at Tabernacle. All right, let's go to our bulletins just for a few announcements. Debbie Davis is going to be prayer chain captains this week. If you have a prayer need, don't hesitate to call. We've got a wonderful prayer chain. As far as announcements, we got some outreaches going on, which is always a blessing on a Saturday, May the 18th, 10 a.m., June the 1st. And pray for these meetings on the outreach. Wild's Teen Camp for the teenagers will be June the 10th through the 15th. Don't forget that. Tri-City Baptist Camp Meeting is going to be July the 8th through July 12th. So don't forget about that. We have that every year. Our former pastor, Brother Cecil, had a lot to do with that camp meeting. He's one of those that started the camp meeting. So we thank God for that. Coming up soon, Miss Patty, our pastor's wife, is going to come up with a Bible study for the ladies. Pray about that as she's trying to get this together. All right. Anybody have a prayer need this morning? Yes, Miss Phyllis. Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. We sure will. We've been praying for him, and God's grace is sufficient during the time of bereavement. So we just pray that God will intervene for this family. And thank you for that prayer request. Anybody else have a prayer request this morning? Remember, Gary and Kathy, they're at the beach. They left Saturday, and I think it was either their daughter or son, I can't remember, was going to meet them there. So pray for their time of relaxation. We miss them when they're not here. Sandy's here this morning, but she is actually over in Ressa's class. She went over with Kim, and she's going to be able to hear Miss Ressa this morning. So we thank God that Sandy's here this morning. All right, I want you to remember our two daughters, Candy and Charity. We love them. They just need to get back to the Lord. Sandy's aunt's doing good. As you know, Sandy had to go up to Abingdon for about 5 days to spend with her and help her. Her arm's in a cast. It's going to be coming off in a couple of weeks. And her pelvic bone got crushed a little bit, but it has to heal on its own. There's nothing they could do, so pray for her. They're in Abingdon. Wilma Gardner, as far as I know, is still in rehab. We appreciate Miss Wilma. She's been a member here for probably 50-plus years. So pray for her that God will give her strength. Pray for Ron and Joan. I got to talk to both of them a few days ago. Ron is still, in, as far as I know, in the hospital at Houston Valley. They're trying to get rid of infection as his main issue. And Carl and Joan's trying to get over pneumonia. And this has been about 5 days ago, so I hope they're on the mend. And I hope they're feeling better. So I got to talk to them, pray for them. Ray and Sally, don't forget to pray for them. Hubert and Margie, don't forget to pray for Joe Robinette. He's doing good. I talked to him. Buck's granddaughter, Kaylee, pray for her. Lord, to bring her back. Susie's oldest sister, Cleo, is in rehab. Pray for her. James always mentions his son, James Foster. They're not here this morning. Pray for his son in California and their grandson, Torin. And Jesse Hickman gave me a prayer request this morning. He lost a friend, Brother John Powers. He passed away. And remember this family. This was a good friend of Jesse. So remember this family. They have lost a loved one. Thank you, Brother Buck. All right. We thank God for the prayer, power of prayer. We thank Him for answered prayer. Please be in prayer for these meetings today, this morning, tonight, Monday and Tuesday night. Pray for these meetings. I hope I'll be able to come Monday and Tuesday. I actually get off work about 6:30, so I'm going to try my best to get over here and rush, rush, rush. But we thank God for the meetings that's going to be going on. Pray for today's meeting. Brother Matt Franklin will be preaching for us 2 services. Pray that God will use him in a mighty way. All right. Anybody else have a prayer request this morning? Steve Larson. Okay. Now, who is Steve Larson? Do I know him? Oh, the big tall guy. Okay, I got you. I got you. Yes, got you. Yes, I've spoke to them. I just can never remember their names. All right, Brother Steve Larson, remember him. They've been a blessing to our church, and they've really enjoyed the services. All right, anybody else have a prayer request? Yes, sir. Ellen, Ella. Okay. Oh, I hate that. Okay, pray for Miss Ella, the pastor's oldest daughter. She's had migraines. I don't know how long, but they're trying to find a medicine that will stop these migraines, so pray for her. I don't know what that's like. I don't think I've ever had one. My oldest daughter had a few when she was going to college, but just pray for Ella. All right, anybody else have a prayer request? All right, let's go to Lord in prayer this morning. Thank you, Father, for another day. Father, we just praise you for another opportunity to be here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. Thank you for this Sunday school hour. We pray for each teacher that you will empower us with thy word. Thank you for these speakers that's coming our way. We pray for Brother Matt Franklin this morning. Please use him in a mighty way, Father. We thank you, Father, for what's been done this past week to lead up to this Sunday. Pray to may the Holy Spirit be powerful, that he's got the messages that we need to hear as a church. Thank you for our pastor. Father, we lift up these prayer requests to you. You know each one, Father. Father, we think of Charles and Patsy. Lord, please be with them. Give them your grace as they're still going through bereavement. Please give them what only you can, Father, that grace from above. Be with David and Tina. We pray for Tina and Talisha as they're going to New York. Please, Lord, put a hedge around them and keep them safe. Be with these tests that Tina's got coming back. We pray that your will be done. We think of Ron and Joan, Father, that they need your touch on their physical bodies, especially Ron, Lord, as he's been in the hospital now a couple of weeks. Lord, please give him grace. Now, Father, if it be your will, we pray that you'll touch him. Pray that they'll be able to get all this infection out of his body, that he'll be able to come home soon. Father, we think of Aunt Carol, Sandy's aunt. Please be with her as she recovers from this fall. Give her strength. Keep her safe. Pray for Candy and Charity, Lord, that you'll bring them back to the fold. Be with Buck's granddaughter, Kaylee, Father. Be with her. Bring her back to the fold, Father. They can start serving you once again. Father, be with Ray and Sally, Hubert and Margie. We miss them. Pray for Joe Robinette, Father, as he's doing well. Pray for Ella, Father, that you'll work in the situation, Father. Please intervene that they can find something that will be able to help these migraines, touch her in a special way. And, Father, we pray for Alan Collins, as when the time comes, he's going to be having a double lung transplant. Pray for him. Be with Cleo, Father, as she's in rehab. Be with Wilma, Father. She's been a wonderful saint here at Tabernacle for years, Father. Please give her strength that she'll be able to come home soon. Be with James and Debbie, Father, and be with James's son in California. We pray that you'll touch him and bring him to the point of salvation, Lord. Pray for their grandson. Pray for Jesse's friend that's passed away, Lord. Be with the Powers family. We pray that you'll touch him in a special way, Lord, during this time of bereavement. And be with Steve Larson, Father, this new person that's coming to our church. Be with him and his wife. Touch their bodies. And pray, Father, that you'll get them back to good health, if it be your will. Thank you, Father, for the word of God and what it means to us. And, Father, we just pray that there's anyone in our Sunday school hour, anyone in the worship hour that's lost without Christ, that today will be a day of salvation. They'll accept you as their personal Savior. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, I want to talk about something this morning that it should excite each and every one of us. And I want to talk about hope. When you lose all hope, then what? You know, if we think about it, the children of God, we're the only ones that has this hope. We have hope in Christ Jesus, but some folks are living their life day in and day out without hope. They don't have any real true meaning in life. They're just struggling through another day, coming home from work, going through the same old routine. Their life has no real joy, has no real purpose in life. Some go through the motions of working 40 or 50 hours a week, you know, watching a little TV, taking care of the house, the lawn. But they still don't have a real down deep inside hope. And I feel like that, however, has the thought ever come across our mind? What is true hope? What is hope? If we look toward the future, what is hope? Hope is something that we as God's people can look forward to because we have hope in Christ Jesus, the ones of us that's been saved and born again. We have that hope. And you know, even going through our life day by day, we have the bad times that come along. We realize that. We've talked about this. We've talked about heartaches, trials, storms, difficulties, burdens. We go through that day in and day out. The ones of us that's been saved and born again, we know that God's word is a comfort to us. We know that we have a whole lot to look forward to in future years if we've been saved and born again. We have heaven waiting for us. I noticed this morning as I was listening to some gospel music on the YouTube, but when I was getting ready for church, there was something that come across the YouTube, and I didn't get to really watch it all, and just bits and pieces, but the title of it was Six Things That You'll Do When You Get to Heaven, and I didn't get to really, I didn't know it was on there, and I hadn't listened to it before, and I only got bits and pieces of it. But have you ever thought about what we as children of God are going to do when we get to heaven? It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. But lost people, on the other hand, when they go through their trials and storms, they turn to worldly pleasures. Whether it be alcohol, drugs, sins of the world, their lifestyle process, never spending time in prayer. Can you imagine our life as God's people, never spending time in prayer? Never meditating on God's word? Or having no faith or trust in the Almighty God? As believers, we can say that there will be no hope for anyone that wants to go the worldly way. You see, our hope in Christ Jesus, our hope in peace, we can have it right now in our own life. But there's sad to say there's people out there that don't have that hope, don't have that peace. And they're going through different things in life and really don't even know what to turn to or who to turn to. And that hope is what we're going to be talking about this morning. I want to read you something that really talks about this before we get into the text of the lesson. And this is a true story. If you remember back on August the 5th, some of you might remember this, August the 5th, 2010, the earth tried to swallow up 33 miners in Chile. Thundering cascades of rocks trapped them in clouds of dust far beneath the surface. The walls of the mine swayed around them, and they knew they were sealed in a tomb-like space with little hope or survival, if you can imagine that. One of the frightened men was a follower of Christ. His name was Jose Hernanquez. He wrote this. He said, "In the shadowy darkness of that mine, it became crystal clear that God was our only hope, our only resource. I shared this thought with my friends there in the mine, a conversation early in our ordeal. At that time, they told me, 'Mr. Jose, we want you to lead us in prayer during this time.' So Jose did this, organizing times of prayer for the men throughout the days. He told them that God didn't need doors or mine shaft to join them. He could move through stone as their 34th companion. It took an amazing 69 days, if you can imagine that. They had to stay in those mines 69 days before they were rescued. But during that time, Jose Hernanquez was able to lead 22 out of the 33 men to Christ. Jose later said, "We stubbornly held on to hope even while we were trapped inside the dark interior of this mine." I thought that story, true story, went right along with our lesson. The hope that these men finally found Christ, the hope that they have. This one guy, one man in the trapped mine for those many days led 22 men to Christ. And what a wonderful story. I want us to turn to just a couple of scripture verses. First one is found in 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to read verses 12 through 17. 1 Peter 3, 12 through 17. I love these verses. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and the ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you and of evil as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." And then verse number 17, "For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." And then over in Psalms, I want to read a verse to you in chapter number 42. I want to read about four verses in Psalms 42, starting with verse number 8. It says, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Have you ever went through times in your life where God brought a song to your heart? A song that talked about him, talked about Christ. "I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" And then verse 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." I thank God that we as believers have hope this morning. You see, when our life is over, then what? Is our soul ready to go to heaven, or is it going to hell? I want to give you four truths this morning concerning the process of finding real hope. And I believe it'll be a help to us, and I thank God for the ones of us that's been saved and born again. We have that hope in Christ Jesus. Because, see, when our life is over here on earth, whatever that day that may be, we're going to enter in the presence of our Lord that we've served for years and years, and we're going to a place called heaven. Look at the first one here. It says, "Hope is a desperate need for every soul." You know, when we see a phrase like this, we think of those people maybe in our families, maybe friends that we know, maybe people at work, maybe neighbors that are lost without Christ. You see, the sad picture is they don't have any hope. You see, a lot of people today are yearning for peace and hope. You see, without the Lord Jesus, they don't have real peace. They don't have real hope. Some have tried everything under the sun. Even material possessions. People try to get bigger material possessions to make them happy, to give them peace. Whether it be bigger houses, fancier cars, more money in the bank. But we need to be careful what we desire for and what we yearn for. Yes, we have to have these things to live. We realize that. We have to have shelter over our head. We have to have food to eat, clothes to wear, transportation. We know that. Just don't let it be the top priority of our life. Anything that we have can be taken away in an instant due to circumstances, due to emergencies, due to the unknown. This is why we need to thank God every day for the things that we enjoy, the things that he's given us. We need to enjoy him. Because, you know, if we think about it, he owns it all anyway. when we're gone from this earth, when our life is over, we ain't going to take any of it with us. Somebody else is going to get it, but we're not going to take any of it with us. The big question is, what about when our life is over here on earth? You see, we have the hope because we've accepted Christ as our Savior. So we have the hope that we've yearned for. We have eternal life. We're going to be doing things in heaven. Heaven's not going to be anything like here on earth. We're going to be doing things in heaven. We're going to be joining those that's already gone before us. We're going to be joining those that have already gone. And what a glorious day that's going to be. But these people that are lost without Christ, they desperately need a changed life and they need Christ as their Savior. You see, the things of the world will never be able to bring hope to anybody's life. The worldly system, the worldly pleasures of this world will never bring hope. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. But there is a desperate need for every soul. And see, that makes our responsibilities even greater. The people that we love, whether it be family, friends, work folks we work with, neighbors, we know that we love them, but we ought to love their soul as well. And to share to other people about our church, about what Christ done for us. We want to do that as God's people because he saved us. He gave us hope. He gave us peace and hope that no one else could give. Over in Psalms chapter 33, I want to read these verses to you. It's verses 18 through 22 in Psalms 33. It's the last five verses, Psalms 33, 18 through 22. It says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name." And then verse 22, "Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." Thank God for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And you know, I heard someone say a long time ago, and they were young. Well, I was young at that time. But at that time, they were young. They wanted to live their life. They wanted to sow their wild oats. They didn't care what they did, how it hurt people. They wanted to live their life the way they wanted to. And I thought to myself, as a young man, I'd already been saved. And I thought to myself, why waste your life? Because everybody's not promised they're going to live in old age. Everybody's not promised that. Why not get it right with the Lord now? That's the best thing we can do. Look at number two. The fourth truth about finding real hope is dying to self and the ways of the world. Have you ever thought about what it means, dying to self? That means that we can't trust our own understanding. We can't make it on our own. Dying to self means we take our eyes off of self and look at others. Look at other people around us. We thank God for the family members that's been saved, but some of us have family members that could be lost. Some of us may have family members that's gone astray. They once were serving the Lord, and now they're not. We don't understand it. But you see, hearts need fixed, and we all need to get away from being self-centered and always wanting self-desires. There's nothing wrong with things that we enjoy in life. But to have the real hope, we have to die to self. We have to look ahead, look at others, look what others are going through, look at their lives. If they're without Christ, they're without eternal life. They're without hope. They're without peace. And that's our responsibility as God's people, is to look at others. Look at their soul. That's going to be the deciding factor. You see, our greatest need today is knowing Christ as our personal Savior and living for God. You see, making this decision and dying to self and the ways of the world, we will have eternal life in heaven, and this is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. I thank God for that. Thank God for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. You see, Christ loves the soul. And we as believers, if we're going to make a difference in the sin-sick world, we need to make that difference. Now, as God's people, we have to be careful because a lot of times it's awful easy for us to point the finger. We start judging other people. That's easy to do, but we need to be careful. The Bible says that we need to look at ourselves and make sure that we're in tune with God, make sure that we're living that life that we need to live. We've fallen short too. You know, we're human, we've fallen short. We need, as God's people, to learn to hate sin, love the sinner, look at other people's needs, don't point the finger, but say, hey, that person needs Christ. It's awful easy for us. We've all done it. It's awful easy for us to point the finger at other people that's not living a Christian life. Their life may be in turmoil. Their life may be mocked with sin. And I know it's easy for us to judge other people. Be careful. We as God's people need to have a love for other people. We need to have a concern because they have a soul. Until their life is changed by the power of God, they may never change. So we need to hate sin but love the sinner. Eternity is our hope, but hell is a place that we don't have to go to. We don't have to go to hell. We can make that decision now if we haven't made it. For the ones of us that's made it, we know that heaven is our eternal home. So we need to be sure and die to self. Die to the ways of the world. You know, it's awful easy. We can get mixed up if we're not careful. Even as God's people, we can get mixed up in the ways of the world. I know in different places I've worked in the past, people want to get together. They want to plan their weekends. And from what I hear with my ears, it's not very good. It's not godly. It's not what godly people would do. And we have to be careful not to join up with these parties and with these people that want to get mixed up in different things of the world. We have to be careful. God wants our life to be pure. He wants it to be clean. And he wants our vessel to be clean. He can't use us for his glory if our vessel's not clean. We have to have a clean vessel to be able to serve the Lord. But when we die to self and start living for Christ, we have that hope in the Lord Jesus. And as we live our life, no matter what age we are, you know, we've got all ages in this church. We've got teenagers. We've got young people, middle-aged, senior citizens. But none of us are promised a tomorrow. None of us. Our life can be taken, can be snatched away in just an instant. Doesn't it make sense to be ready to go? Does it make sense that we should have that hope and peace in the Lord Jesus? I've got a verse back here in 1 John. 1 John has so much in it, but chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, I want to read verses 4 through 6. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And then verse 6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Did you notice the first part of that verse I read in verse number 4? It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Folks, I hope that we have made a decision for Christ. See, that's where our hope is. That's where our peace is. The sad picture is lost people don't have that hope. God cares about the soul. We ought to care about the soul. If we're going to rub shoulders with other family members, friends, people at work, we should care about their soul. Look at number 3. We've got to move on. The third truth, talking about real hope, is divine intervention always brings real hope. It says, "When a sinner realizes that he has tried everything to find real hope and a purpose for living, He must forsake the worldly ways and come to Christ. Folks, we've all had to do that if we're saved and born again. If we all look back at our past life, we got mixed up in things that we should have never got mixed up in. But when we're saved and born again, we got a different picture. We got a different future, a different hope. And that's just wonderful. I looked up a Bible definition of divine intervention. It says, quote, to come in or between, and when God does something miraculous for mankind despite their weakness or status in life. You see, each one of us can be saved and born again. Don't matter what our status is, don't matter where we work, what we own, each one of us can have that hope in the Lord Jesus. And I believe that divine intervention means it happened not because of our wisdom, our own wisdom, our own knowledge, or because of our high IQ. I've met people with a great high IQ. Doctors, I know a couple of doctors, I know a lawyer. These people have high IQs. But a Christian writer said this, quote, the main keys in our Christian life to experience divine intervention is these three things: prayer, praising the Lord, and being thankful. You don't have to have a high IQ for that. He said those were the three main keys: is prayer, praising the Lord, and being thankful. Each one of us can do a lot more of that. Let's don't ever go through life that we're going to think that we're going to make it on our own without Christ's help. That'll get you in trouble. You see, we talked about that a few Sundays ago, pride and arrogance. These things will get you in trouble if you're not careful. And I feel like that as we go through life, that this divine intervention, we can experience it. You see, the Holy Spirit does wonders that we can't explain sometimes. I've seen the Holy Spirit save lives, save a sinner, a lost sinner, into a saint. I've seen the Holy Spirit work in people's lives that are saved and born again. And you know, we talked about this last Sunday. The day that we were saved and born again is the day that we receive the Holy Spirit into our heart. And that Holy Spirit should be leading us, guiding us, helping us with every decision that we make. And that's just a wonderful blessing to have the Holy Spirit in our heart. You see, lost people don't have that. Lost people don't have that Holy Spirit in their heart to lead them and guide them and direct them. They're trying to do it on their own. We did that. We tried that once. So we thank God for that. I want to go over to Psalms chapter 40 and read the first three verses. And these are such familiar verses. Psalms 40 verses 1 through 3. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And verse number 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Wow, what verses. Are we praising the Lord today? Be careful, it's awful easy to complain. Some of us, or most of us, are guilty. It's awful easy to complain. But you know, I bet you if we look around the corner, there's somebody else a lot worse than we are. So we need to learn to praise the Lord, stay in constant prayer, and always be thankful for what we have. Look at the last one, we're running out of time. The last truth that we see in finding the real hope is sweet deliverance. Boy, I love that phrase. Sweet deliverance. This is what hope brings. How sweet it is to see a sinner delivered from sin, delivered from the ways of the world, delivered from bondage. Isn't that a wonderful picture? I believe that's the most exciting thing that we could ever see here on earth. You know, the ones of you that are grandparents, the first time you seen that grandchild, that was amazing. That was sweet. different things that we go through in life, our teenagers' graduations, the birth of a baby, our wedding day. These are all exciting days. But I believe the most exciting thing that we could see is a sinner, a lost sinner saved by grace. That's the most amazing thing that we could ever see. And with this sweet deliverance comes real hope and real peace. The lost world doesn't know about it. The lost world, sometimes their heart will long for it. Sin can't do it. Our family can't do it. Material possessions can't do it. None of these things can bring real hope or real peace. Mm-mm. Only the Lord Jesus can give that sweet deliverance. The ones of us that's been saved and born again knows what sweet deliverance is. We know what that phrase means. The day that we accepted Christ, it was sweet deliverance for us. And we've all got family members, we've all got close friends that we love that's either not saved or they once were serving the Lord and for some reason they're not serving the Lord anymore. Sometimes we don't understand it. I know the devil is very conceiving. The ways of this world try to trick us. The ways of the world get young people into a trap. And I know those teenage years are rough. The ones of you that's had kids and gone through the teenage years, our two daughters, it's a rough stage. But as they go through that stage, showing them the love that we can show them, we have to know that as a teenager, they need to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. They want that real hope. They want that real peace. But a lot of times we've got, even 30 years ago, well, 40 years ago when I was a teenager. Time's flying, ain't it? 40 years ago when I was a teenager, you look at things that people go through. The teenagers today, it's no different. They're trying to find peace somehow. They're trying to get in with the crowd. They want to be accepted, I guess I'm trying to say. But be careful. If you get accepted in the wrong group, in the wrong crowd, those people that don't love the Lord, those people that try everything under the sun to find peace and happiness, it will eventually get you in trouble. That's the sad part. I can look back at my teenage years and I can think of a couple of people that died as a teenager. One was saved and born again and one was not. You see, we're not promised a tomorrow. But that sweet deliverance that we have, we know that we have it if we've been saved and born again. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, guiding us and leading us every step of the way. I don't think that we're going to have rough days. We will. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be mocked, laughed at. That's okay. We're just wanting to live for the Lord. We just want to please Him. We just want to please Him in our daily life. Nothing wrong with that. So the big question is, are you searching for real hope today? Are you searching for real peace? The ones of us that have it know we can put our head on our pillow at night, knowing that if we don't wake up, our soul will be in heaven. Isn't it wonderful to lay your head down on the pillow at night and know that you're saved and born again and whatever God brings your way, so be it. You see, the Lord is faithful to bring it and to deliver any lost soul. That sweet deliverance, I'd love to see it for people that's lost. For those people that once served the Lord and now not serving the Lord, we definitely need to pray, but we love to see him come back. I want to end this lesson with a scripture in Hebrews chapter 7. We've run out of time, but Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. It says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. I tell you what, it's a joy to be saved, and it's a joy to have the Lord in our life day by day. We thank God for it.